Hello and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast. I am glad you're able to join us, wherever you may be joining us from. It is Thursday afternoon for me, and I am getting ready to, well, as I'm recording this, I'm getting ready for Sunday. I think it's been one of the interesting things throughout the coronavirus is really looking at what our schedules look like. I mean, for me as a pastor, it's been very interesting because I've said this a bit before, and if you listen to or watch the Pastors Live on Wednesdays that we run at Sunrise, Rachel Jackson gave a very good look into what preparing for Sunday actually looks like, from me having sermons ready on the Tuesday of the week to so they can be edited and music being done and introductions being done and all the graphics and editing that goes into it. It's quite the production that actually happens. But I think for me, one of the biggest things is realizing that the focal point of the week has changed, where often we moved and looked at Sunday as this focal point of where we gather together. Now, with us being online, while we still all gather together online, we're producing the sermons on Tuesday. And to give a sense of where that is for me, I've been, my week looks like in many ways preparing the sermons on the Thursday, Sunday afternoons and Mondays. So I can record on Tuesdays and then we go into editing after that and do whatever editing needs to take place for that. And I mean, one of the things as well is I have been preaching at Sunrise, and I've been pastoring up here as well in Saskatchewan. And so it's kind of added a bit of extra up here. I am my own tech department and do all that editing myself, but what that's focused changed is now sermons need to be ready by Tuesday morning. And not that I procrastinate or any pastor procrastinates, dare we say, but it's changed the way that our week looks like. So after sitting in front of the computer on a Sunday morning and being able to be a part of the Sunday gathering, now all of a sudden after church is over, I go back to the office and I start working on my sermon because it's got to be ready on Tuesday. And what this has done it brings us to kind of the topic that I wanted to talk about today, which is rest and being able to find that Sabbath. And for me, it took me quite a while to figure out what my rhythms of life were. When I first started pastoring, I was doing youth, and it took a while to realize what are my busy seasons, what are my slow seasons. And just as I had figured that out, I became senior pastor, and while I was doing youth and being senior pastor, and that all changed. And just as I figured that out, then I just was lead pastor, and those rhythms changed as well. And it took a while for us to realize when is our busy time, when is a time for us that we can get rest. For Sarah and I, one of the things that we always did was, and always do, is there was a pastors and wives retreat that we would go to in Banff, Alberta. And afterwards, we would go to a cottage on a lake that Sarah's aunt has. And it's on the water, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, and it's November. And November up in Canada is not warm, no one's swimming in the lake, there's snow on the ground. And we would always get asked by Sarah's aunt, why on earth are you going up there or going to the cottage? There's nobody there. And to which our response was, that's exactly the reason why we want to go, is because there's just nobody there. And the grandparents were watching the kids, and Sarah and I could spend a week or two and just decompress from a very busy season. It was November, so kickoff from church had all happened and all the programs were up and running, and I had done one or two weeks of teaching at a seminary or university, and we found ourselves now in a place where we just needed to breathe and just look back at the past year and see where we were in ministry, where we were in life, and where God was leading us. And it gave me the sense of understanding that in the different seasons of life, like how important rest is, and not just having a really good nap. Those are very important as well. But how important it is for us to have this time where we can rest as individuals and as a couple, and whether it's in God's word, whether it's just being out on a hike and enjoying God's creation, whatever it was, a time for us to breathe. And even going further than that, I found myself in a place where I needed to realize that I need to develop these rhythms, not just on a yearly schedule to say, okay, 2 weeks a year, I'm going to rest. It doesn't work that way. But rather to say, what are the rhythms of my week and of my day where I'm going to find rest? One of the things that I love, and a bunch of this has to do with, I guess, really spiritual disciplines and different training in spiritual disciplines, which I think is one of the things that we're going to talk about today and is very important. I see it as, on a day-to-day thing, one of the things that I have always loved is, I had to get in a rhythm of, was when I would come into the office in the morning, I'd come into the office, I'd close my door, I'd open up my Bible, and I would just read. And even beyond that, I think that one of the things that I had to do was, and this is just my own context, is I've been in the world of biblical studies and languages, and so I would always just use my Hebrew Bible. And what I found was, is I actually had to use, I switched to just using with my devotions, my English Bible, mostly because the linguist in me and the Hebrew teacher in me would be reading a passage and then say, oh, well, this is an interesting word. You know, oh, this could make a good lesson for one of my classes, or this could be a good sermon series. I'm going to take a look a bit more at this. And next thing you know, I have three or four commentaries out. I've got a lexicon out and several different things. And I realized that what had started with this quiet time with God and devotions had turned into now a work project where I was planning a 5 weeks sermon series on something. And I needed this time with God and myself. And so I just got in the habit of taking out my English Bible and reading through it and just seeing where God is speaking to me in this and really trying to dwell on this. And one of the things that I also saw in this was something cool that came out of it. I'm not a person who likes to journal. I don't do a lot of journaling. I think it's Crossway. One of the companies came out with a Bible, but also individual books of the Bible, where on one page it is just the scripture, and on the other page it's completely blank with lined paper. And I just started writing down my thoughts as I was reading through a small passage at a time, and writing all the things that God was speaking to me, and how I was interacting with the text, and how it could help me throughout the day. And I got in the habit of this, and it seemed to be one of the most beneficial things that I've seen in this, as far as rest in my day, right? And we all come from different contexts, right? We're not all listening to this saying, well, I'm a pastor and this is what my day will look like. For you, arriving at work in the morning first thing and opening up your Bible may not be something that you are able to do. Or if you're watching the kids in the morning and right now school's out, that quiet time might not be first thing in the morning. Or it might have to be really, really, really early in the morning. It might be in the evening, right? Where it's spending time with God. And when I think of this, I think that, and I know that God is committed to our growth, right? If I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And in that, there's something really cool where we see there's all different people who can bring insight into our lives, right? Whether it is Paul in this context or Apollos, but at the end of the day, God made it grow. And so God is actively committed to our own growth, and God makes people grow, But then we have to actually take responsibility for our own growth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we're commanded to grow. And it's not all up to God, and it's not all up to us. God has designed this beautiful relationship that we work with him in partnership as we grow. And we have to start to figure out what this looks like. And now in a time of season of change where life is changing and our schedules have changed, it's probably time for us to say, what does this look like now for us? Just like when I moved from, say, youth pastor into a lead pastor role, my rhythms of life had changed. So what may have been a peaceful time at one point was not as much anymore. Holidays are a great example of that. Over the Christmas holidays, youth would often take more of a break as the kids are off of school. And in the lead pastor role, all of a sudden you're gearing up for Christmas musical, kids' Christmas, and Christmas Eve service, and Sunday service, and life is actually getting a whole lot busier that once Christmas is over, then you can actually take that time to breathe. You may have been leaving for work every day at a certain time and going into the office, and now, I don't know if you're like me, but my office is about a 5-foot by 7-foot space underneath the stairs in our laundry room, and that's, I call it my fortress of solitude, although it doesn't seem to have much solitude, because it's also the laundry room, the furnace room, the water softener is in there, so the washer and dryer are all in there, and everybody knows where I am, and there's no lock on the door. And so finding that solitude now looks totally different. And no doubt that's also the same for you as well, that it looks a little different. And so we almost have to train ourselves to find that rest and get involved in those spiritual disciplines again. And because it looks differently now than it did look 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. While reading the Bible hasn't changed, when we can find time to do this may have changed, right? Our rhythms have changed. One of the things that I think of is in the book of Mark. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus has been going through kind of a difficult time, him and his disciples. John the Baptist has died, and they've been busy. Jesus has sent out the 12 to go out to all the different villages and from one place to the next. And then we find John the Baptist dies around the middle of it. I think verse 13 or 14, John the Baptist dies in Mark chapter 6. And then immediately after that, we see that they've been very busy, right? And Jesus now gets himself to a place where, and here, let me read this. And it starts, I'll read in verse 30, because again, putting this in the context of everything, the disciples have been going from village to village and ministering to people. And now John the Baptist has been beheaded. And now the disciples have heard what has gone on. They've buried John and taken him to the tomb. And now we read in verse 30, "The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all that they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, 'Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while.' He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone." And that takes us up to the end of verse 32 there. Now, in this, there's a lot going on. I mean, a lot has happened up until this point. But all these apostles return, and they're saying everything that's happening. And they debrief, they tell Jesus what they had done, what they had taught. And Jesus recognizes that, you know what? There's a lot going on right now. We need some rest. We need some time by ourselves to just spend with each other, to debrief, to spend time in teaching and just us. Because we haven't even had time to eat. Now, I don't know if you've fit in that category over the last little while where, I mean, I think more than ever, as I was explaining my schedule before, there's days where I wake up and I'm not sure what day it is. And I'm not sure if I should be worried about that for various different reasons, that it feels like I finish recording my sermon on Tuesday and I wake up Wednesday and I'm thinking, is it Monday today? Because I just preached yesterday. And so these rhythms have all changed, and you just want this quiet place. And when we're all sheltering in place, that quiet place may be very difficult to find. We don't all have a back shed like Pastor Cliff and his fortress of solitude, and what he has, which I will in this, of course, put in my plug, as it is clearly my favorite Bible study. I can't stop mentioning it everywhere I am, or wherever I'm recording something, also because it's got the best name ever, Backshed Bible Studies, on Monday mornings, with him on Facebook Live. But in this, Jesus recognizes, getting back to this, Jesus says we need this quiet place. And so you may be in this time where you're like, I just need a quiet place. I just need to, whatever it may be. I don't know what your back shed is, what the back shed is for you, or what under the stairs in the laundry room is for you, and where that may be. But you're looking for some rest, and you're looking for just a quiet place to spend with God. And I think really the message of today is being able to say that, recognize that God is committed to our growth, even in the tough times. But beyond that, we also have to be responsible for our growth. Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 13 captures our part and God's part very clearly, where it says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for that and that is our part. For it is God who works in you." There's that. That's God's part, to will and to act according to his good purpose. So it says, continue to work out your salvation, continue to work through all the and wrestle with all the things that you're wrestling with, and spend time with God. That's our part. And God is going to work in you. That's his part. And come together, the both of us, to act according to his good purpose. So even though, and I want, as much as I want to give encouragement to say, like, what is rest going to look like for you? Even for Jesus, as they are starting to take a look at rest and spend some time together, it turns into something different. If you've got your Bibles and you've been looking at Mark chapter 6, you'll notice that there's nowhere in there that there's a title, Jesus Finds Some Rest, right? They recognize that there's rest and they go off and they spend some time, but that only takes us up until the end of verse 32, because what happens is, if you look at your chapter, you'll see the title that says, Jesus feeds the 5,000. What started as rest has turns into something different. It says, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. In verse 33, it says, but many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd, and he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. This is how we get to the feeding of the 5,000. What started with them finding rest turns out to them feeding the 5,000 and people coming to know Jesus. And to give a bit of a context of the setting of this, and I hope you don't mind me throwing in these, what I deem as fun facts, although my kids don't necessarily deem all my fun facts as fun and or as facts. I find it's good understanding the context, because it seems like it's just this large analogy or a, you know, metaphor or trying to draw out a good picture that people were running ahead of them while they're in this boat. To understand this, we need to understand that really the Sea of Galilee is not that large. It's really, you know, a 32-mile circumference, and it's not that big. And so on a windless day when you're expecting the wind to take you across the sea, it doesn't take long, or the wind's going the wrong direction for that matter, you will find yourself not getting across that lake very quickly. And so as people see a boat out on the water or know that Jesus is out in a boat on the water, they can see exactly where he's headed to. There's not a lot of towns along the Sea of Galilee. And so they can see exactly where he's going. So it's not unfathomable to see that people from different towns were seeing, had seen Jesus get into a boat and were trying to figure out where he's heading to on the other side of the lake or across a little portion of the lake, right? And so what I find interesting in this is even in this time of rest, God is still creating these opportunities. And we need to be willing to take them. And it comes back to that Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that captures our part and God's part clearly, right? That God is committed to our growth, that we need to take responsibility for our growth, but then there's this great partnership with God and us that is to do good things according to his good purpose, right? And so here you see people are the disciples doing what Jesus had told them to do, growing and debriefing from their time away and the teaching that had happened. And at the same time, you also see that there's God still doing stuff even in the midst of rest and presenting opportunities. It's us taking responsibility for our growth, but God also committed to it, and we see what this result is, right? Acting according to his good purpose. Out of what seemed like a calm, quiet day and a time to debrief, we see the feeding of the 5,000, right? And then immediately after that, his disciples get back into the boat, right? And often we don't, when you get to verse 5, after you read about the feeding of the 5,000, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake. Right? And so it picks up actually from the story where we left off. Verse 30 is almost like this tiny little segue. Actually, verse 32 to the end of verse 44 is this little tiny mini story of feeding the 5,000 that's sandwiched in between Jesus wanting to go find rest and then saying, back into the boat, let's go from here so we can still find this rest. And what happens? He insisted that his disciples get back into the water or into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Right? And so again, we see Jesus returning and this need to back into rest, back into this discipline of finding time with his Father. And we often don't pick up on this because it's just two verses at the beginning of chapter 6, verse 30, and then picking up again with two verses, verse 45 and verse 46 of our passage. But there is this rhythm that you see that is happening. Busyness, yet finding time for rest and making time for rest. God presenting opportunities, us acting on them. Finding time for rest and finding time with God. And so in all of this, I guess the word of encouragement and kind of our own little challenge for this is saying, what is our rhythms these days? Are we able to find that rest? And even if for a moment, I really believe that God's part in committed to our, being committed to our growth, when we take that time to rest in him, and we'll talk about more of this as we get up into the next series. Well, I guess depending on when you're listening to this, our upcoming Sunday is really talking about abiding in him and sheltering in God and what that looks like. But as we start to abide in him and start to shelter in him, start to seek rest in him, I think it will give us energy. I know it will give us energy for what what we're going to be presented with and what opportunities we're going to be presented with. We see it here with Jesus and his disciples in Mark chapter 6. We see this with the exhortation that Paul is giving in 1 Corinthians and Philippians. And so I think for us, it's saying, what are these rhythms starting to look like? And not just for you as an individual, but also saying, what does this time with God, with your families look like, or with your spouse look like? And so I want to encourage you with that, to take some time this week. And after you've heard this, take some time to really ask yourself the question of, am I really finding rest? Am I being rejuvenated, not just physically or emotionally, but spiritually? Am I being rejuvenated by spending time in God's word and finding time and finding that rest in him? And so I think we'll end it there for this week. For those of you who are hoping I'd give biblical justification for an afternoon nap, I'll do that another week, but I'm sure we can find some verses that will allow you to say it's time to take an afternoon nap somewhere. But for us, rest this week is trying to say, what does rest look like when we rest in God and we abide in him, and really starting to develop and rethink some of our own spiritual disciplines that probably have changed over the last little while. And so hopefully you're able to take away from this really just something to think about. And let me leave you with a passage, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, which says, rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, which is probably good to remember as we've been sheltering in place and over the last little while. But it says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So when you do that spiritual training, when we develop those spiritual disciplines, when we grow in Christ, when we find rest in him, we find that there's this promise that this has value both for now and in the future. And so I'll leave us with that and hope you can take away a bit from today. And thanks for sharing this time with me. But I'm going to pray and then we can... I guess you can turn me off if you haven't already, but we'll end it. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. And I just thank you that we can see right from your word and see right from your own disciples' lives that life is busy and that your mission doesn't stop and your purpose for us doesn't stop. But that doesn't mean that we can't find rest in you and seek peace in you. And so as we've learned today, just with the disciples and with your son, Jesus, God, we thank you that we can see that they put importance on finding those rhythms as well and what that looks like. And so we pray that we'll be able to do this in this new time and that we'll be able to grow as well. And so we just thank you for all these things. And we just pray these things all in your name. Amen. Well, thank you for spending time with me as you're listening to this, wherever you may be, in your car, out on a run, or at your house or wherever you may be. But I'm glad you're able to spend this time and we're able to just go through this together. For me, it's one of these things where I'm able to just hopefully share a bit of insight and we can all see where we can grow a bit in these areas, especially during this time. Until next time, I guess I will leave you and I will put my plug in again. If you haven't joined us already, you can subscribe on YouTube to Sunrise Community Church. You can subscribe. You will see us as well on Facebook with Sunrise Community Church. We've got our Backshed Bible Studies happening every Monday at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. We've got our Pastors Live where we're meeting with all of the different pastors over Zoom and you get to see kind of what's going on in our lives and ministry life right now. And then I am back every Thursday. And so please come join us. 9 o'clock, 10:50 on Sunday mornings. We'd love to see you if you're not already joining us online. So take care. Have a great week. God bless.